Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Yes, it is. It's Tuesday morning. Must be time for some great news in Buckhead. And we're here just to share great stories and interesting, compelling stories behind what's going on in Buckhead, Atlanta, and beyond. And Rich Casanova, your host for Buckhead Business Radio X. We're excited. We have quite a lineup of guests in the studio, as well as some observers joining us in the studio. And we have also I'll start in kind of reverse order. We have gentleman Jerry, is it Stettner? Stettner is going to be joining us a little bit later on the program, talking to us about all things money and how to make money and or no.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. All right, we're going to go with that, yeah. And also we have, I'm just going to have each person and introduce themselves real quick, if you don't mind. So we have joining us in the studio, kind of our second segment this morning will be joining us, is from MedZed. And we have
Scott Schnell.
Scott Schnell. And where are you originally from?
I grew up in the Northeast, in New York.
Okay, well, you can still be on the show. Whatever. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. Michelle joining us also in the studio. And what's your capacity there at MedZed?
Good morning. I am an RN for MedZed.
Okay, cool. And we're going to be hearing, it's a very interesting concept. I've been checking out the website, and it's kind of intriguing what you're bringing to the market here. And we have also joining us in the studio, Jerome Washington. Jerome, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm Jerome Washington. I'm the CEO of TBC Cooperative Innovation.
And what are you going to be talking to us about today?
Well, we'll be talking about the technological advancement of technology integrating into the e-commerce world.
Okay, nice. And speaking of technology, we have Ryan is joining us here in the studio as our, you're kind of a tech, what's your title again?
Assistant to Rich Casanova.
Good answer, whatever, yeah. No, seriously, he's our assistant producer engineer. He's going to be doing social media for us. So if your photos don't look great, Ryan is his name if you want to write that down, whatever, yeah. So check with Ryan after the show. And then also joining us from the Kids Expo, Dirk, welcome to the show in the studio.
Thank you very much for having me here today.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And so you're going to be talking to us about...
I'm talking about an event that I will produce in February here in Metro Atlanta called Kids Business Expo. It's an expo for young entrepreneurs and offering opportunities for kids to grow.
So these are like minnows or sharks before they get to be sharks?
I've seen a lot of who might be sharks.
Yeah. Yes. We'll find out, yeah. Okay, and then last but actually first up, joining us in the studio is Kevin Jenkins from Chef and the Fat Man, right?
Correct. And before you ask,
yeah,
I am not the chef.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that would
Makes
leave
him the other guy.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're the other guy, yeah. And the counterpart, Eric, is joining us in the studio.
Right. I am the chef.
Okay,
so,
good, yeah.
I mean, we could be interchangeable on being the fat man.
Now, I'm going to have to fast forward here because something I've been following you all for a while on Twitter as well, and excited to have you all here in the show. But now, I guess there's an exception because every one of your shows, when you travel, there's cooking involved. But you don't have any. Does anybody smell any food? Raise your hand if you smell any food. I don't smell anything. I guess you're off the hook this morning because it's not your show.
Well, that's right.
Because we refuse to cook in studio.
Right. Nice.
That's
yeah.
true. That's true. Well, always out.
That's how we started. Was we would not cook in studio, and we had to cook every week.
So you take it on the road.
That's yep. it.
Okay. So meanwhile, back to business. So tell us the backstory here. A little bit about your bio first, about just yourselves, and we'll get into the backstory of the show and the concept. But so Eric,
yeah.
what's your background before?
So my background, I mean, if you go way, way back, I've got chef experience working, putting my way through college and cooking and whatnot. But in reality, I'm in a Monday through Friday in a different industry. I'm a VP for Konica Minolta.
No, you're not. Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
I run the high-speed printing division around marketing, graphic communications, and the high-speed printing market.
So printing and cooking, yeah, that's a natural. Obvious.
Right? I actually combine the two frequently.
Really?
Yeah. My thought is that a perfect marketing plan is built based on the same way you build a good recipe.
Just don't put a ream of paper in the oven or
something,
right?
It depends. If you're doing it on papillote, that's...
Oh, please.
Come on.
Kevin, help me out here or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, I can't help you with him. It's been a long and tedious struggle, but an absolutely incredible one.
So before we get into sure. your claim to fame here, what's your backstory prior to this venture?
Well, I was in sales and marketing for a number of years, but my heart has always been in radio, so I created several radio shows over the years. In this market,
right.
I did everything from a little conservative talk radio to sports talk.
Oh, wow.
And then I created a hunting and fishing show for 5 years and then created Chef and the Fat Man, which is now in its 13th year. So Jeez. It was, you know, it's been a lot of fun. But in the business community, one would say extremely non-profitable. But we're working
right,
on it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're pre-revenue. That's pre-revenue. A new buzzword.
I'm sure. I'm
but
sure 13
years, come on.
Yeah.
That's a mere startup.
Yes.
Yeah, Cuban would say, or Mr. Wonderful, 13 years, you're pre-revenue. Okay,
yeah, well, that's
next,
all right.
Yeah, yeah. That's good stuff, though. And, well, I don't know, Ryan, what do you think? Maybe we have a co-host here, whatever, might be joining us. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's your background. Originally sure. from what areas, what parts of the country?
I grew up in Pasadena.
Okay.
California.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You can tell.
Exactly.
What do you mean you can
tell?
I came from the
he's
Midwest.
He's got that surfer dude.
Yeah, you know, it's like, fagua for breakfast, pinky out when he drinks.
Rarely.
I'm a real man that comes from the Midwest.
Wow,
up
good
near.
Thing we set them across the table from each other. Yeah.
This happens every week. So.
Hey, Ryan, see if the security's available yet or not yet. Are they still in the building? Okay.
Rarely foie gras for breakfast, though.
All right. So meanwhile, tell us about this... your radio show, Chef and the Fat Man radio show. What was the original idea behind this? And take us through the walk us through the calendar, if you will.
Well, basically, 14 years ago, when I was in the middle of doing the hunting and fishing show, I got this idea of, since we're catching all this game or taking all this game, why not cook it? So I came up with the idea of cooking it on the radio show, and we had a lot of sound effects. I have always been totally infatuated, and without getting boring about things, every night when I go to bed, I listen to old-time radio. I listen to Richard Diamond. I listen to all the great radio mysteries, and they did a lot of creative things with sound. I said, wouldn't it be cool if we could take those sounds, convert it into a fishing show, so when we'd have skits where guys would be flung off the boat, you could hear them drowning as they're trying to hold on to the fish, and the reel's going in the background. So I came up with the idea of a campfire and cooking. I thought, man, you know what? Cooking 13 years ago was really the hot genre, but not in radio. It was on television. So I said, why not try to cut a niche in something that had never been done before? And so I took that and created that 13 years ago, spent a year trying to get at radio stations to understand that you can cook on radio. Yeah. They said, you can't. How can you do it? Right. Well, 13 years ago, and here we are.
We don't have any sound effects here, by the way. Sorry to disappoint you all.
Oh, I can make some.
You got to make your own. Yeah. Yes.
No, you don't want that.
Yeah, you don't. No.
Okay. So, kind of fast forward. So, I've been to your website for those sure. folks that have not been there. So, you take this on the road, but you're based here in Atlanta. I mean, what's the day to day operations?
So we're somewhere around the world every Saturday, essentially,
wow.
And we're cooking. In the last couple of years, we've been to Israel, to Ireland, to Nicaragua, throughout the United States. We've cooked with some of the top chefs around the world. We invite them in. If we're in a certain location, let's say New Orleans, we'll invite some of them in to guest chef with
okay.
me. And one of the best parts about it is I've been able to work side by side with some of the best chefs in the world and learn their techniques, and it's experience you couldn't possibly pay for.
So it's really just a way to kind of steal ideas then, right?
It's really all about me.
Yes.
Right.
Rich, you get it.
Yeah. You just drug Kevin along with you or whatever, yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, yeah. So speaking of travels, you've been a guest of the Israeli Ministry of Tourism?
Yes. They are amazing people. What an incredible country. And culinarily, shocking. Their culinary is as good as anywhere in the world, and their young chefs and their seasoned chefs are doing some incredibly exciting things. They got me to eat more veg in 10 days than I've eaten in right. 20 years that I've been alive.
And
settle down, Angel. It wasn't that funny.
Angel. That's a reference to the pre-show in the green
yes.
room. Yeah, yeah. So meanwhile, and the Irish Tourism Board.
Right, right. That was actually over St. Patrick's Day, being at Guinness and at Jameson.
Which was tough.
Yeah, you know, someone's
brutal, whatever. Yeah,
but we go as guests of the tourist board or the Ministry of Tourism, and they really bring us over and they give us carte blanche to go anywhere we want to in the country. We usually set up a routine, and like in Ireland, like Chef Eric said, it was the 250th anniversary of Guinness. And what's really neat about it is because we have the flexibility to go where we can go.
Yeah.
A lot of the times things happen on the show that no one expects. Things happen because members of the audience start listening, and all of a sudden, did you know? So the gentleman who was doing the Dove Awards in Ireland, which is their equivalent of our Grammys, he was doing the Dove Awards. He was in the audience. And he came up and sang his song that has set and smashed all records everywhere in the country of Ireland for 7 years. It remained number one.
Yeah, Mundi.
Yeah, Mundi came on and actually did it. And we brought Irish dancers to dance that had never happened before. And we did it all on radio. Yeah. So the spontaneity of it really creates a kind of a excitement that listeners get a chance to be a part of that they wouldn't ordinarily.
It is kind of like that old radio days.
It is.
Right? Before TV and all that good stuff. So you guys are the precursor to Anthony Bourdain and all those guys, whatever. Yeah, they just stole your idea. Yes.
They all did. But we have faces for radio, as they say.
I'm raising my hand too. Yeah. So this, tell us about this. You were also had been at the famous My Father Cigar facility.
Yeah, so that was down in Nicaragua,
right?
And Kevin and I are both cigar smokers, and so we
proudly,
and we took a trip down to Nicaragua, and I had the challenge of doing a show down there, and having no idea of what we were going to have access to, what type of food we would have, what the facilities would have. They actually ended up sending me a picture of what my cooking stove was going to be, and it was basically a couple of cinder block walls with logs in between and two large pots. So that was my fine temperature control, was sliding the log in and out underneath the thing. And you know what? That's what makes the show fun, is that we never really know what the circumstances are going to be. So
unpredictable and exciting
all
at the same time. So so now tell us about what's next. What's your next venture going to take you to? And but I want to talk, if it's possible, about the revenue. I mean, do you what's the business model?
My
here?
Wife would like to talk to you about
right,
the revenue.
Exactly right. But I mean, is there a business model? You get sponsorships or whatever? Yeah, because on your website there's quite a few sponsors. Yeah,
we're very fortunate. Yeah, very fortunate. And some sponsors are cash. Other sponsors are in kind. Nice. But no, it's been amazing. For instance, the Big Green Egg has been with us. Ed Fisher, who created the Big Green Egg, which is kind of a cult all over the world. It's a good cult. It's amazing. Everywhere we go, when I wear the logos, I get besieged. Everywhere in the world I go, I get besieged.
You got it on your shirt right now.
Yes, it's cheap, shameless, capitalistic plugging, which is what we do.
That's right.
Because we believe in free enterprise, and we believe in driving the dollar. I want to be a rich capitalistic pig like Rich Capitanova. I want to be there one day. But no, we did it with the Big Green Egg. He was our first sponsor. And he loved old-time radio, and we came to him with the idea. He immediately said, I'm in. What do we need to do? And, in fact, the slogan that they use with the Big Green Egg now, it is
the ultimate cooking experience.
Yeah. And they they actually...
There's our sound effects, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
we do this every week, so it's kind of down to apologize. But they actually used our slogan as the major part of their new slogan for their new advertising campaign and for the marketing going on forward. So Whole Foods, we just recently signed them. They are giving us a very wonderful budget for Chef Eric, because heretofore he was paying out of his own pocket for the food every week. Yeah. So Whole Foods has been amazing. And since he loves cooking all the really nice good stuff, this is right up his alley.
I mean, when I prepare for a show, I walk into the Whole Foods, walk back to the proteins, and see what I want to cook with, and develop the recipes about 2 hours before the show starts.
Then
go from the proteins to the produce, see what's nice and fresh, and of course at Whole Foods everything is.
Oh, big time! Yeah.
And absolutely love it. And so Whole Foods has given us the ability to step up the game with the ingredients.
Those are some great partnerships. Actually, I've known about the Big Green Egg. Uh-huh. And I have a lot of people that they're very fanatical about it.
Oh my goodness!
But I didn't realize until recently they're based here.
Yes,
right here
in Atlanta,
Lawrenceville
and
Highway.
Because I saw some advertising. They're thinking about we're talking to them about coming on the show as well. So
that would be great if you could get Artie or Ronnie or anybody or Jody. They're amazing people. But also we tried to keep something in Georgia. We have worked feverishly for 13 years to get Georgia sponsors. It's extraordinarily difficult. So, it really is. I don't know why, but the city of New Orleans has adopted us as their hometown. So they call us their hometown show. We couldn't get Atlanta for 13 years. No matter where we went in the world, no matter what we did,
But now that's been changing. And the good news is, in these sponsorships, the way we work a sponsorship is we actually we incorporate the product or service into our show directly. So we're talking about it the whole time. It's not just a commercial spot.
Right, right.
It's actually the active use of it. So as a result, we don't take any sponsors that we don't know the product, use the product, and live with the product all the time.
And that's why Schumann Produce, which is the leader in Vidalia and Peruvian sweet onions, signed up with us 2 years ago. and ongoing and taken us across the country to do demos and things like that, because our show not only is fun and entertaining when you watch it, it's audience driven, local and on radio, but also we do demos, we do emceeing. So over the years, we've got our shtick down to where it works. And then Cutter Cigars was right here in Alpharetta, actually took us to Nicaragua.
Wow, that's a trip. But yeah, they say that. It's an old proverb. You never a prophet in your own land, right? But,
right.
You know, it takes
hey, that's
time.
Very, that's very good. Right.
Apparently, they all listen to that.
No, speaking of prophets or whatever, yeah. But so gentlemen, we're going to move on to our next guest. But before we do so, tell our listeners what's the best way to reach out and get in touch with you all.
So the best way is on chefandthefatman.com. They can go to chefandthefatman.com and listen to it stream live. It'll also link over to our mother radio station, which is AM 1160, Talk of the Town here.
Right.
And they can also pick us up on podcasts on iTunes and Podbean.
And a little footnote, we did a special episode for the, we call Georgia Food and Beverage Radio. Mm-hmm. But we haven't really, it hasn't really developed into an ongoing series, but we may have to talk about off
love
the air
do,
and maybe some
that.
Contacts y'all know or
yeah.
involve y'all. Or
we'd love to help you.
Okay, well, let's definitely talk about that. So appreciate, gentlemen, for your being here. Stick
Thank
around,
you.
And we got some other entertaining guests and maybe a little conversation, panel discussion.
And better looking, too.
Exactly, yeah. This
You're
is
not talking
true.
About me.
All right, yeah. So up next, we have joining us in the studio from MedZed. But first, I want to thank Kelly and Brave PR for bringing them here in the studio this morning. So the folks at Brave PR are also great about featuring some of their clients. We're always welcome to have them join us on the show. And joining us on the show, we have the co-founder and CEO, Scott Chanel.
Chanel? Yes.
Okay, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Back to the show, I should say. And joining you on the show is Michelle Davidson, and you're, like we mentioned, you're the pediatric nurse.
I am.
All right.
Good
so,
morning.
Yeah, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So we're very excited to have you here. You have, so Scott, tell us a little bit about your backstory before we get into kind of what ramped up to what is now MedZed.
So we talked a little earlier. I'm born in the Northeast.
Right.
I went out to
Still, you're sticking with that?
I'm still sticking with that.
Okay, then.
I've been
Brave
here
man.
I'm 25 years in Atlanta.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So that's good.
That was a close call, yeah.
Went out to Ann Arbor, so I'm a Big Ten guy.
Okay.
Then came to Atlanta to, I went back to New York, and I was an accountant for 5 years and came to Atlanta and have been here ever since.
Right.
My background has been entrepreneurial. I helped start a business that did services. We sold services, siding and windows, to Home Depot customers, and I've done a bunch of other entrepreneurial things, and now it's MedZed.
Right, and one of the other folks, the principals in the business, is Dr. Jeff Grossman?
Yes.
Okay, so how did y'all connect, or how did this, tell us now the backstory of how MedZed kind of fast forward that coming about?
So about a year ago, I was introduced to Jeff. Jeff, Dr. Grossman, is a spine doctor, and Jeff was using telemedicine as part of his practice, and he found that patients were more comfortable being seen in their house. Telemedicine is video conferencing, and he would see patients using just telemedicine to evaluate them before their whatever needed to happen next. And he found that patients got to a better solution in their house, and it was faster. So it was a better experience. And what he did was he started with telemedicine, and then he realized it was better when he put somebody in the house, a caregiver in the house, to work with him. And that was the genesis for the idea of taking a caregiver, putting him in the house, using technology, and connecting them to a remote doctor.
And what do you attribute, what are some of the key concepts, or why does that kind of work? Is it the environment, so they get a feel for the environment, people are more comfortable in their home, or, you know, time-wise? Or
so we started with kids. Right. We thought pediatrics was a great place to start. First, kids love technology. So some of our technology is called the eye-to-eye technology. Our nurses will look in kids' ears. And the doctor can see it remotely.
Okay.
And the kid can see it on the screen because they're using video conferencing. So it's like the kid's watching TV.
Right.
It's his own ear, and he's thrilled. And then they hear the heart sounds, and the whole family really, really likes the experience. And what kid or what person who's sick, you think about Sunday, it was pouring out, and you're sick.
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to go out? I mean, you had 102 fever, and who wants to go anywhere? So this kid is sitting in there, the child's sitting in their living room, waiting for us, and then we come and we see them, and they're in their pajamas and they're in their environment, and it's all good.
So it's kind of a hybrid of the old doctor house calls, right? But it's so it incorporates both elements of on-site, on-premise, as well as transporting that data and that information to physician, or
that's exactly right.
Okay,
we like to talk about the legend of Zed, right. And Zed was I grew up in Brooklyn. If you want to be more specific about where I was, well, I grew up. I spent the first couple of years of my life in Brooklyn.
and he's backpedaling already. That's fine. That's fine.
And we had.
Sorry, man. We don't give you a hard time. I don't know how I got started on that. Yeah, I'm gonna blame it on these guys, Kevin. Yeah, Kevin. Yeah.
Anyway.
We had Dr. Zed. My mom would call Dr. Zed, and Dr. Zed would come to the house, and he'd do a house call. So we've upgraded the house call to with a technological twist.
Yeah, and. And earlier I was talking about this idea of Visiting Angels, which is a franchise or a business where they bring on-site to seniors, whatever, to people that aren't able to. So it's kind of like this is for families or kids or, you know, other ages besides just seniors, right?
That's right.
Fair enough.
We started with children, but we will expand into geriatrics and elderly care.
Okay.
And we're going to service the kid, and then we're going to service the kids.
Generation, one generation at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's bring Michelle in on the conversation. So when did you come on board, and what's your background?
I have been an RN for over 20 years and came on board with MedZed over the summer.
Okay.
A mutual friend put me in contact with Scott, knowing that I was most recently a school nurse.
Okay.
And my son was a senior this year, and I was at his school, and he kind of wanted me off campus for a while. So
he fired her.
He fired me.
So he found this online. He says, Mom, check this out.
Actually, yes. So she put me in contact with Scott, and he was telling me about the concept, and I was blown away. About the technology and the idea of bringing the pediatric visit into the home, the pediatrician into the home. Because so many times as a school nurse, I would have loved to have had the pediatrician on the screen with the patient, student in front of them. So when I actually got to see the technology firsthand, I was blown away. As a nurse and as a mom, my baby now is 18, and I would have jumped at the chance to have this.
Well, and I definitely see. I mean, you're definitely onto something. This is a genius idea, because not only you know, sometimes you have one or two parents in the household, both may be working, but even if just one's working outside the home and one's working in the home, if you will, then at any given time, you're going to have one parent gone. And if you have multiple kids, what are you going to do? Drag all the kids to the hospital, to the emergency room, or to a facility?
Right. To be exposed to more viruses and bugs. So it's great. And the kids that I have seen are so much more comfortable in their own environment.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're cooperative. They're, you know, they're mesmerized to see the inside of their ear and to listen to their heart, to see the inside of their throat.
You just tell them it's a video game. Whatever,
right? They just sit there and make faces. Because, you know, it's a split screen. So they see the pediatrician on one side of the screen and they see themselves on the other. And
wow. So now, is this something, what's your capacity there as far as, do you still, is this your primary you know, focus or whatever, or you still have your hands in other work?
For me, it's my primary job right now, but many of the other nurses on board are, you know, they work at Children's, they work, you know, they have other
So they're
jobs.
Kind of on call or whatever as need basis?
Right.
Kind of thing, yeah. So let's go a little bit to your business model then. So, I mean, you've also recently, I heard you just recently expanded. So what markets are you in right now, I guess?
So we
start with where you started and how that's progressed.
We started in the in-town markets.
Okay.
We started in the Buckhead and the Sandy Springs and the Morningside areas. And we have recently expanded up into the Smyrna and to Marietta and north of the perimeter up to Johns Creek and Alpharetta.
Yeah, because that north corridor, that's your recent expansion, right?
Yes, and that's where all the kids are in Atlanta. So we're expanding. We're going where they are.
Just follow the kids. Yeah, and there's a tie-in with our Kids Expo. Maybe you guys, there's some. We'll find out maybe what's where that may or may not tie in. But meanwhile, so those are markets. And how do people find out, or, you know, where do you, most of your clients come from? Or
So they're coming. It's word of mouth. Okay. It's a physician practice, and it's word of mouth. We do demos, so we'll come out to your house or we'll do an event, and people can come see how this works. And, we're starting to advertise and building a practice. We're also trying to partner with physicians because pediatricians would be great to extend their hours.
Right. Right.
So instead of going to someone else, you could see your own physician.
Yeah. And, Michelle, so how do you see the difference of, working elsewhere as opposed to MedZed? What are some comparisons? Or
I'm just amazed by the technology, and I love being able to go into the child's home and be in their environment. I like the autonomy of being, the nurse and having the physician there one-on-one, and I don't have a waiting room full of patients waiting on me, so we get to spend more time, more quality time with the family and the patient.
And address the issue.
Absolutely.
And just be able to focus on that, yeah.
Absolutely.
And not being pulled away
right.
a lot of different directions. So speaking of staff, so what's the business look like as far as number of physicians, nurses? Or, I mean, what's the makeup?
We cover 29 hours during the week. So we cover Monday through Friday after hours, and then we cover Saturday and Sunday. And we have five or six doctors who cover those hours, and we have four or five nurses who cover those hours.
What are the hours then?
We're Monday through Friday. Right. We see patients from 5 to 9. Our phone lines open a couple hours earlier.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, we cover 1 to 5, and on Sunday, 3 to 8. We're there when the pediatrician's office is closed.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So that makes sense. You kind of fill in that gap, right?
Right,
that's
exactly.
not being provided. And then we talk about, cost. I mean, what might people expect to pay, or how's the structure on that work?
You pay $150 for an appointment. That'll include any on-site tests you need, and if it needs to go out to a lab, that'll be extra. And then your insurance will be charged for it.
And then either one of you, what are typically, symptoms? What type of ailments do you address, and where is the cutoff point where, you're not doing surgery in the home, right?
Absolutely. We do a lot of phone triage when the parent will call in. We see rashes, cold symptoms, flu symptoms, fevers, vomiting, things like that. Your basic things that we can treat in the home. Obviously, broken bones, lacerations, things like that, we do not see. And if we think it needs to be seen at the ER, we automatically refer them out.
Okay.
And we see kids who are 2 to 17
years
old.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah, up to 17.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when's the seniors coming online, so to speak? Or
we just started working on them now, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned, yeah. He just invited himself back for another show. Yeah, nice. Yeah, nicely done there. Okay, so meanwhile, what else do we need to know about, the practice or the expansion? Is this just Atlanta-based, right?
We start in Atlanta. We're going to get it right here in Atlanta,
right, yeah.
and then we'll expand to other cities.
And not put you on the spot, I mean, because you may not have this all mapped out, but is it going to be like a franchise or corporate-owned or, obviously focus it right now in your backyard, but...
We're open to both.
Okay.
Our eye-to-eye technology kit is something we're working on to create something that becomes franchisable, sellable.
Yeah, you could white label it or just...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So we haven't decided yet. It's a service business. MedZed is a service business.
Right.
We want to make sure we keep the control of the quality of our services pretty high. And so for now, we're going to stick with opening ourselves.
Like you said, get it right here before you start talking to people in Seattle or
exactly.
Istanbul or Israeli Tourism Council. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right. So, again, pleasure to have you all here this morning. And what's the best way for listeners to get back in touch with you and find out about your services?
MyMedZed.com. MyMedZed.com.
Okay. And there they can find all your social media links. It looks like you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, fax. What about a fax machine? Can they fax you? Or yeah,
I've got reps that can sell you a fax machine if you need it.
All right. So, pleasure again, Scott and Michelle, and hopefully stick around. Maybe we'll have some follow-up. See people taking some notes. Maybe we'll have some follow-up questions here for you. And we'll have you back for a senior day, yeah.
Look forward to it.
Great, thank you.
They just made that a national holiday. Well, there's a Grandparents' Day, right? That'd be a great time to kick that off, yeah.
Actually, today our school is celebrating Grandparents' Day.
It is Grandparents' Day today?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, our school is.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get, if we only had resources, people to double fact check, is that what we need? We need fact checkers, yeah. All right, so meanwhile, up next to the studio, we have Dirk Ebner. Is that how you pronounce
That's correct.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Yeah, nice. And so Dirk's going to be talking to us about more about kids and Kids Expo coming up, right?
That's correct.
Before we get into that, we realized you're from Germany originally?
I am.
How long here?
I moved here in 95.
Okay.
And my wife was teaching for the Department of Defense, and we met through that. And in 95, they decided to send her back because her contract ended, so I moved on.
All right, yeah. All right, and so... Now, what's your kind of backstory before we get into the expo and the event coming up? What's been some of your goings on?
I have worked with global trade shows. I've worked for two German-based companies here in the United States, one out of Frankfurt, Germany, and then I launched the office for another organization out of Nuremberg, Germany. And our job was to promote trade shows around the world, which was part of their portfolio. So, if, for example, if you had a sticking with the food side, if you had an organic cookie that you wanted to take to global market, we had some trade shows for this around the world, in Germany, in India, in China, and our job was to take your cookie and put it on the platform so that you had an opportunity to meet the buyers from around the world. And usually they had about 100 plus countries going to these shows. So it was a very interesting opportunity for me to get into consulting, into helping companies to really find that market niche of theirs and make sure that when they went to India or when they went to Colombia or wherever they went, that they had the right platform and the right marketing set up, that their staff was cross-culturally trained to understand how to hand a business card over to somebody when you're in Asia, because it's so different from
big
what
time,
you
yeah.
do here.
Yeah. I've seen that on YouTube, the correct way to pass a business card. I'm like, really? You need a video on that? But
yeah,
it's a big deal.
And you can really destroy your relationships in a split second. You have worked month and month over, you know, making sure that you meet the right buyer at this trade show in China or in India, and all of a sudden you have a major faux pas and this is gone within a second.
Well, I wrote the book on destroying relationships, but that's another show. And organic cookie, that just sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah. It sounds
tofu? Is there tofu in there?
I'm with you, Rich.
No.
Yeah. Just means but, no pesticides in your cookie.
Yeah, I know. But stick around for the 2 o'clock show. We actually have the folks from Sprinkles coming over here, the cupcake people at the mall, where they have a cupcake ATM machine. Have you heard about that or seen that, right? It's bizarre.
I'd have to go see that.
So,
it's a beautiful thing.
I think it's pink, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Since Kevin and Eric didn't bring any food with us, but anyway,
nice shot. So,
but let's talk. We're gonna stick with Dirk here. So Dirk. So wow. So international trade shows. I mean, that's we sometimes we just go and observe it, but you don't realize that's just a beyond multi-billion dollar.
Yeah, I mean, you look industry, at it. If you look at it from a perspective of just the U.S. market, there's over 10,000 events and trade shows every year.
Really.
And so if your company is looking for the right platform and you really want to meet that correct buyer and you want to get in front of associations and have an opportunity to sell your product to the next level, you have to find the right space,
right.
The right plot, you know. Yeah. And so my company helps you to analyze your product and make sure that when you're ready to do that, you know exactly where to go and be successful, because there are so many things that can go wrong, from the planning to the setup and to follow up.
So it's Kids Business Expo, but also the Global CIF.
Correct, yes. Global CIF is sort of my main company. Right. And then in May of this year, I had a conversation with our daughter on the way to school. And we are big Shark Tank fans.
Yeah,
we
me
love
too.
That.
I love it, yeah. I love
and
that
so we spend a lot of time on the weekends talking about the shows and what would Kaylin do and what would I do and so forth. And so on the way to school one morning, she said, Dad, you've been in the expo business so long. Why don't you launch a business expo?
Yeah, for kids.
For kids. So Kids now, Business so Expo in life.
So dumb question here, but this is for kids.
It's correct. It's for kids.
It's not like Kids Merchant Services or whatever,
no.
Or like all the products for the kid industry. Yeah.
No, it is really for kids, for young entrepreneurs, kids in any age group, 12 to 18, younger, older, who really want to launch a business, who have this dream, this vision. You know, and I'm looking around, looking at people now, think, wow, I wish I had that opportunity.
Yeah, or they're thinking,
ago, right?
I need to send my kid over there and make some money or whatever.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, Kids Business Expo is that platform. It's a Saturday at the Galleria.
And what's the dates again?
It's February the 7th next year.
Okay. So how many? So give us some of the parameters here, or give us a picture of how many folks. And this is the first year doing
it's
it.
It's the first time.
Okay. So we found each other on Twitter. I saw all your news on Twitter. I mean, I love that. Yeah. So when I see something interesting, I reached out to folks. I say we should have you come tell your story. So so back to the expo. So how many? What are you thinking? What are you projecting? Participants, attendees, vendors, all that good stuff.
It's a full day. Really, the event starts with a keynote speaker at 9 o'clock.
And who is? Do you have that lined up?
It is. Absolutely. Marcus Lemonis.
who owns the CNBC TV show The Prophet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He is going to be
If I had cable, I'd be a big fan of that show. Whatever. Yeah, I've heard about it, yeah.
Rabbit ears.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, power of Twitter. I actually had the opportunity to be in conversation with Marcus Lemonis on Twitter, and that's how we sparked this interest, and now he's coming.
Wow. Well, kudos to that, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well done.
So then following that will be a panel discussion. I want to have kids talking to kids. I want kids to network amongst themselves. I want them to share their thoughts and their vision with other kids and motivate them to go to the next level.
I love this idea. We need to have don't hold me to this for legal reasons, you know, but I should be saying this on the air. But I'm inspired to maybe do it. We can closer to your event, maybe do a special episode. Just bring in some features.
That would be
kids.
Awesome. Yeah. We have plenty of them. I mean, Atlanta is top in entrepreneurship.
It is. There's a lot of people that have competed and won on Shark Tank that are based right here in Atlanta. But back to the expo. So how many exhibitors do you think?
So we expect around about 50 plus exhibiting companies. Okay. We have a total of around about 85 booths at this point.
Okay. That are available.
Some that have been available. We have about a dozen plus left.
Okay.
We have a couple of things going on the show floor. For example, Junior Achievement of Georgia is our education partner, which is a very strong point for us. We have another group out of Maryland, Kids Are Heroes. They are focused on the social entrepreneur side, and they will have an area on the show floor. Clubby Atlanta downtown in College Park.
Michael Moore and those guys?
Right,
and
exactly. They will be there.
Okay.
So we will have vendors. We will have vendors opportunities. We have a Young Entrepreneur Center. The idea behind that is I want kids to actually put their product on the shelf.
Right.
I want them to show off what they have accomplished. And that's what it's all about, showing kids what they accomplished.
Now, will some of these kids, will they be already have a working product or widget or whatever, or some concept in development they're trying to kind of pitch? Are they going to actually be getting investors? Are you going to have a pitch event? Or
we will have a sales pitch event. We actually are launching a 90-second sales pitch event right on the show floor. Talking about a success story. There's a young lady who was on the Shark Tank, and she had the Busy Box system. She's from Emory. She was right on about a year ago.
Right,
and
right.
Kaya is the one who is spearheading the sales pitch competition.
Wow.
So there is a lot of things for authors who are interested in bringing their books to kids. There is a reading zone.
Now, what about investors? Can we come there and write some checks or whatever? Absolutely.
And
get in on the ground floor?
I would love to
now
have
we're
you
talking.
On that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, if somebody wants
let's
to
get
come
down
in.
To business here, Kirk, whatever. Yeah.
We love that. Yeah, if you are interested in sponsoring that, there is sponsorship opportunities for this.
Well, sponsoring for the event.
For the event but if, and kids, if you want to come
so
in.
Potentially, are there going to be deals made where people can, I might be kind of fast-tracking this here.
You are fast-tracking, but I love the idea. You know, we welcome people to come in and meet and communicate. And what I am
and
really...
invest in those kids.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of kids out there who have a passion, who have a dream, but they don't have the financial means. And so if you look at things that are happening right now, we really want Kids Business Expo, that networking platform.
Again, I'm probably overstepping my bounds here and... we don't have any attorneys present here, but we do it actually 8 o'clock show at Atlanta Legal Experts. I may need to pull some of those, but Larry White and the Ritz Group folks right here out our window, they've done a show, the Ritz Group Radio Show, and it's at the City Club in Buckhead. But they do a monthly event, maybe about 10 times a year, but they do an event called the Shark Attack.
Mm-hmm.
Which is people get to pitch their ideas, and there are actually people there writing checks, investors, angel investors, yada, yada, yada. So maybe there's a team up there. But
there's a connect.
Yep. But meanwhile, so what else we need to know about the event? I mean, what does it cost? What's the sign-up?
The sign-up, you can go online.
Okay, and the website.
Kidsbusinessexpo.com.
Right.
You can register right then and there. The cost is, I'm really trying to make a point here for kids. So the kids are free. If you are 18 years and younger, you can come in for free.
Right.
We want the adults, the parents and the adults involved. So we encourage adults to be there. It's $20 if you want to come in as an adult for the entire program.
Okay.
And for all of those entrepreneurs out in Metro Atlanta, whoever listens to this great show, you know, there's an opportunity to register also for the keynote, and that's $75 if you want to come in, just listen to Marcus Lemonis. We encourage that.
Get autographs and all that good stuff, yeah.
I cannot promise that, but I can promise you a good...
That's $125 ticket.
Exactly, yeah. And buffet not included, yeah. Okay, so So those are the costs. And then again, the website is just kidsbusinessexpo.com?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, well.
We're on Twitter, kidsbusinessexp.
Yeah.
We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Google+, and on LinkedIn, all over the place.
Jeez, yeah, that, my head's just spinning right now. But what we'll do is we'll put all this information on the site, so they'll be able to just go there and find out all the information and find your website as well. So, Dirk, it was awesome having you here.
Thank you very much.
And you're definitely onto something. I see this going beyond, well beyond Atlanta. And because, I mean, I think a lot of these kids of this generation, they've been exposed. A lot of their parents are entrepreneurs, right? Which is a, somewhat, not a recent phenomenon, but it certainly is a growth expanded quite a bit. So, I mean, they're kind of, it's just perfect timing. So thanks again for
being
here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And again, that's kidsbusinessexpo.com.
That's correct. Thank you.
All right. So knock it out of the park there. And so up next, we have Jerome Washington joining us in the studio. Jerome, welcome back to the show.
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
So good stuff so far, right?
Great. You've
been taking some notes?
Dynamic.
All right. So to tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into your technology and your widget and all your goings on. So you're originally what part of the country you're from?
I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
Okay. I migrated here to the Atlanta region.
Okay.
I'm former professional boxer for over 13 years.
Yeah, I remember that on the bio.
17 years, as a culinary chef.
Yeah, he's also a chef.
You have other guests quite certainly in that general space as well.
What type of chefery? Is that a word? Did you do?
Sure. We'll let that be a word.
Well, from the culinary standpoint, as they indicated earlier, I study techniques. And I look at the general, format of different operations. I've been a chef over at Piedmont Driving Club.
Okay.
I've had the opportunity to be recognized by notable locations here in the Atlanta region, all the way from Houston's to Tavern of the Fitz. So on.
What's your
so
favorite
forth.
Food to cook?
Well, one thing that I tell everyone, food never changes. It's just the format of seasons and sauces that create the general taste for the dynamic presentation, as they indicated earlier, that makes the taste.
Well, my food never at home never changes because just put it in the microwave and it's the same recipe every... The guys are leaving the studio now.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
So how many years as chef?
17 years.
Wow. And how many years boxing?
13.
That's crazy. I mean, I'm trying to think of how do those two collide?
Basically how they collaborate in today's time. Everything moves in a technological strategy standpoint. I was able to look at the format of once you become a professional,
right,
and whatever it may be, you must dynamically recreate that format in a business sense.
Lean a little closer to the mic there, Jerome. Yeah, help us out. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's basically the methodology of creating a model around your life.
Okay.
Your life must now become a brand.
Right.
Okay, to any profession that's been identified with you or the conception of your mentors that you seem to respect. But the general concept of me being here today,
right,
it's more or less about TBC.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that, obviously. But just before, I want to finish on, have you heard of the Buckhead Fight Club?
Quite certainly I have.
Okay, yeah, because they've been on the show, whatever. So it'll be interesting. Maybe we'll cook something up over there.
Quite certainly,
Okay, so meanwhile, let's fast forward to, so talk to us about your current venture and the backstory of as a consultant in technology and of your firm now.
Okay, TPC, Cooperative Innovation, which I am the CEO of. TPC represents the boxing chef. Basically, we deal with technological strategies and models for innovative entrepreneurs, as you been mentioned earlier by other guests, in terms of creating format and enterprise sectors. TBC is a company that has created an application, more or less Destination on the Move. Destination on the Move will cover the spectrum of airports, sports stadiums, as well as amusement parks. It would cover the spectrum of integrative advertising and branding space. Okay, it would circumference the scope of e-commerce in a very technological way.
Okay, well, dumb it down for me, or right?
Okay,
I know everybody else is like, got it, right?
Okay,
but in layman's terms, day to day, like if I walk into the airport, where are you going to come into play?
Okay, pretty much how TBC would hold the scope in terms of airport aviation. It would have some of the greatest link to concessions, retail, as well as e-commerce. General example,
yeah.
As you enter the airport, it would greet you. It's an itinerary management system. It would greet you. Then it becomes the personal assistant to being able to buy items from retail as well as concession. As you walk through the airport, you can now have the opportunity to order food. It would then identify you're less than 3-4 minutes from that general space. Upon you reaching that concession or retail, you say confirmation number 178. They push it in. Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Your order, if it's in the food world, your order is less than 3 minutes away, less than 4 minutes away. It takes away the opportunity of spending 5 or 10 minutes identifying a menu or identifying other things in terms of asking more about various items.
So is it smart phone technology where you put in some profile of the type of food or service that you're scouting for you travel? Or?
It's even deeper than that. It gives you the opportunity from voice activation, okay, to pretty much you put your question in. It then would scope that general area of that space. It would re-identify the components of the concourse that you're leaving out on, and it would just only particularly specify, you know, those particular restaurants, retail, and then you create the format of what type of business of your choice you would like to do in that general concourse.
So you talk to your phone, and then
thank you,
and you say, "Here's what I'm looking for." And then it's going to, but it's kind of hyper-local just to that venue, right? So within that that venue, it'll source all of the services and products and...
Correct.
Will it fly the plane or no? That's a... that's an upgrade, yeah.
Eventually,
that's a monthly subscription that we're not on board with. Yeah, just speaking for the crowd here, yeah.
Thank you. But it would pretty much be identified, you know, if I'm able to do so. It would cover the scope of things like Google, UPS, FedEx, and Amazon in one general space. It gives you the greatest opportunity of choice, decision, as well as buying option on the move. That's why it's called destination on the move. I accommodate you. You do the purchase. We make the service right.
And the revenue stream is from that that venue paying to be on that platform. Is it a app then, or is it just built into a cloud-based, or what's...
Okay, it's an application that would integrate into the general sector of that corporation from the hardware standpoint. Whatever general language in terms of them having the opportunity to deal with that customer base, it would only integrate within that system.
So language, is it like German or Swedish? No, or if you're IKEA, it'll pull up the meatballs for you all right away?
Okay. It will cover over 14 different languages.
Wow.
Okay, so it pretty much gives you the opportunity. Like I said again, the second quotation to this here, for example, if you leaving out on a certain concourse and you say, I have a taste for Italian. It would scope everything in the area of marinara, Alfredo. You know, it would identify the general components of various restaurants that meets those scope.
And then finally, to kind of put a cap on this here, or to kind of dial this down, is this a in development? This is a pre-revenue, or what stage are we talking here?
Destination on the Move have been in development for well over a year and a half.
Okay.
I've had opportunity to work directly with places like Georgia Tech.
Uh-huh.
Georgia Tech holds a 99.9% understanding in terms of where this technology is going. It has a 76% of accuracy at this particular time. Within the next month and a half, I will have over 84% to 80% accuracy in open space connectivity. The stabilization is quite certainly there. in the area of monetization. It scales to the highest.
Okay. I don't know if this is a necessarily an analogy, but are you familiar with Avalon up in Alpharetta? And they're a very one-of-a-kind retail tech. I mean, I've heard... Yes or yes?
Yes.
Tell me the question.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Avalon.
Okay.
In the early stages of Avalon being introduced, quite certainly I did my R&D on that.
And then also the was it the College Football Hall of Fame, where you walk in, and it's very venue-specific technology, right? As you kind of traverse your way around, it identifies your alma mater, you know, all that good stuff, and your sports heroes. Is this kind of what... But you're applying to a commercial
venues. Okay. I'm looking in the area of commercialization, stabilization, interlink, all the way to monetizing, you know, profiles of different brands and creating a very great diverse advertising scaling point.
Okay. So, Jerome, so how would folks find out about this, our listeners? Where's a... is there a point where they can
listeners
reach out?
Listeners can quite certainly call me directly at 678-308-1565 at their earliest convenience.
Okay.
And quite certainly touch bases with me at TBC, cooperativeinnovation, at gmail.com.
And TBC is the boxing chef.
The boxing chef.
I love that.
The one and only.
That's a food fight, isn't it? Right? Thank you.
I thought you maybe worked in Gordon Ramsay's kitchen or something like that.
I know you're the original Iron Chef, whatever. I am. Stand down. Yeah. I'm going to cook it. You're going to enjoy it. Any questions, right? Is that the way? Is that the format?
Quite certainly. And the slogan of TBC is technology with a punch.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Now you got it. Yeah. Yeah. You saved the best for last, Jerome. Yeah. 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 I love that. All right. So so again, what's the phone number for to reach out to you?
The number is 678-308-1565. Last but not least, I would like to give a shout out to my Flyburger family over at Hartsfield Airport. Wish you guys well, and I look forward to seeing you guys today. Let's make some great numbers.
Nice. Flyburger. I just got that at the airport, right? Yeah. Burger to go. Nice. I thought that was just a hip style, you know, like this burger's fly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's a dynamic concept.
And who's over there? Do you know? Who's the folks?
Mr. Kevin, Bubelkoff, Ami, the entire Flyburger team.
I'm heading over there afterwards. Yeah, I'm taking Marta.
And we pull great numbers.
All right, well, Jerome, we've talked on the phone quite a number of times, and so it's a pleasure meeting you in person. So thanks for being here on the show.
It's an honor.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, and our anchor man for this morning's show is Jerry Stettner. All right, yes?
Correct.
Yes or yes?
Okay. Yes or yes.
All right, good answer. So you're going to talk a little bit serious here. We talked about investing and some money topics. I don't know if there's any food to tie in here, but you're coming to us at from CXO Collective. I've actually went to I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name, but I went to you had an event here at Maggiano's quite a while back. A couple of those.
Corbin Cowan.
Corbin, yeah, I met Corbin. Been to a couple of those, and
he's one of our founders. I was probably there.
Yep. Very likely. And so tell us again a little bit about yourself before we get into, so you were a VP of in a Fortune 100 company until 2004.
Right.
Right. You started a real estate investment. You own your own you're a managing partner at 2020 Growth Solutions.
That's right.
Okay. And before all this business talk, tell us again a little bit about yourself, background, and
30 plus years in the corporate world, left that business when we were, company was sold. That was about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And kind of started down the entrepreneurial path and started a real estate investment company, a management consulting firm. That's the 2020 Growth Solutions.
Right.
And the event you mentioned at Maggiano's, we've had a couple down there about a year or so ago. And I may have seen you there, actually.
Yeah, but possible. Pretty high rollers there or whatever. It was a little out of my wallet, but yeah. But I was very intrigued.
There were a few. Yeah. Corbin Cowan is one of our co-founders. Mm-hmm. Our other co-founder is Jason Myers, who was probably at that event also. So I became involved with CXO about, spring it'll be 2 years ago.
Okay, and for folks, listeners that don't know for me with CXO, what does that stand for? What's their mission? What's the, what's the objective here?
Well, first of all, there's no food involved in this.
Well, there was some wine, though. I did enjoy. Some great appetizers. Don't mislead people now, yeah. Well, that's not part of your business model, though. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Let's get that clear, yeah.
You're correct. We do have food at the events, but all those talks made me pretty hungry.
I know, I'm telling you.
CXO Collective is a group of C-level executives, okay, investors, entrepreneurs, business owners who have all come together to buy, build, and sell companies. We're a global enterprise. We've got folks in Australia and New Zealand. In fact, one of our co-founders is over there right now.
Wow.
We've got members in London. However, most of our people are in the United States. We've got chapters throughout the country. We're in the West, in Seattle, and in California. We've got a chapter here in Atlanta, obviously.
Isn't one of the founders, it seems like I've seen events going on in Houston or out, is it Texas or California?
Yes, and yes.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Corbin is actually lives in Colorado.
Okay, that's right.
Jason lives in Florida.
Okay.
In that regard, we're kind of a virtual company.
Right. So what does the CXO stand for? Obviously, C-level executives.
The C is for capital.
Okay.
It's pretty obvious. The X is expertise. That's our network of people. We've got experts around that have got tremendous backgrounds and experience. And the O is the opportunity, which is also a pretty amazing thing. There's 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every day.
Dang.
Of those,
they all have the same birthday, or does that work?
I guess so. I don't have that.
I like this sick humor.
All 10,000 would. Yes.
It's criteria.
Just doing the math.
Okay.
Sorry.
15% of those are business owners.
15%?
15%.
Okay.
87% of those folks have no exit plan.
Wow.
Many of those don't have anyone to give a business to.
And they're 401s.
Or anyone they might trust to give the business to. So that's the opportunity. There's about 1,500 business owners turning 65 every day for the next 17 years.
Jeez.
So the opportunity is huge. A lot of those folks want to exit their business somehow and haven't really thought about how to do it. And we want to help those people do that. At the same time, we also work with companies that just want to build their business and gain maximum value. They might want to sell their company down the road 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road. So we want to help those people. We want to partner with them. We're not a group that wants to just come in, grab the company and take it over. We want management to stay, if that's practical, or at least part of the management to stay, to help transition the business over time. We want them to gain maximum value out of their business, create their own cash flow for their future, and kind of leave their legacy.
Well, it's funny. Radio X, a lot of people think X is just a powerful letter, but it actually stands for experts as well. So that's who we look for, is experts in their industry, their field. So your X could, beyond expertise, could also stand for, exit strategy, right?
I mean, sure.
Because that's a big component. Right. So so is that kind of where there's multiple things going on? Right. So because when I recall at the event, so you're helping those baby boomers, if you will. They don't have an exit strategy, but they built this business. So you collectively bring investors to the table that will then buy out that entity and give them a nest egg, if you will, or some money.
Well, there's the back end. There's a number of ways deals can happen.
Right.
And every deal can be different. We may do an earn-in where if we hit certain milestones, we earn a certain part of the equity of the company. We may buy, 51% of the company, either raising cash internally or externally. Every deal can be different, and it's very flexible.
And speaking of different deals, I mean, you mentioned that you encourage the principals to stay on board, but that's obviously optional. They may want to just walk away, right?
Sure.
Is there a fair number percentage, like ballpark, how many people typically stay on board?
I don't know that I could give you a number. We look for a motivated seller, right?
Right,
to begin with, you have to have that.
Right.
And most of the time, if you're really talking about building a business so that you can sell your business today for more than it's worth,
right,
because we're going to build the business to a certain value.
Yeah,
because
you bring in all this team of experts, right? It's more of, that's the consulting element, right?
That's right. We fill the gaps that a company, you know, may not be able to fill internally. A lot of smaller businesses, as an example, don't have a lot of marketing expertise.
Right.
So if they don't have that function, or it's maybe less than it should be, then we've got people that we can bring in to fill those gaps. Could be on a temporary basis. It could be on a, you know, could be a 2-year assignment for them. It could be on individual consulting projects. Every deal is different. One of the great things about the organization is it's very flexible and able to handle those types of differences.
Yeah, because also it's almost like, I don't know, fair analogy, but like a rebuilder coming in and to a home you want to put on the market. You got to remodel the kitchen, the bathrooms, and maybe a new roof, whatever it needs, so that you're going to get more, it's more sellable and you can make more money. Profits, you come in and kind of take that business that's doing well, but you get it where it's more profitable.
That's actually a good analogy.
Okay.
And in many cases, the homeowner, in your analogy,
right,
doesn't know they need a new roof.
Right. Or so, they've been happy. They've been sitting at the same house for so many years. It's
right.
Just like, you know, it's a tree in the forest kind of thing, right?
In many cases, it's exactly
their business.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly that.
So what else does CXO do besides what we've talked about, I guess? Or,
well, we also provide consulting services for companies that just want to grow to the next level.
And want to keep their business this stage, right?
They want to, exactly. Now, that may turn into a client for us to own part of their business over a number of years. That's
right.
Fine. It doesn't happen, that's fine also. So we'll provide consulting services for a company just to build. Somewhere down the road, they may come back to us and say, I'm ready to sell or like help selling or whatever.
So correct me on this, but so it's, you're not typically looking, they're not really startups. They're pretty much existing, profitable businesses established. You're not really in the startup space, right?
We're really not.
Okay, yeah,
We're looking for a couple things. We're looking for positive cash flow.
Okay.
We're looking for recurring revenue. We're not really into the pre-revenue deal.
Right, exactly.
At least at this point in
yeah,
our history.
It's fun, but yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to talk
about.
You're
looking for those creative types, yeah.
Well, and the reason is there's so much available that falls in the criteria
exactly,
that
yeah.
we're talking
They've got
about.
So many other resources for that.
You know, we'd like to see good positive cash flow. Most importantly, we like to see scalability.
Yeah, that's a key component, because some people come up with a great idea, but there's only 24 hours in the day, and
right.
How many people can you bring on board? But back to this point of existing businesses is, I don't know, you can pass or play on this, because when you get into money, sometimes there's not confidence, compliance issues, whatever, right? So you can say, Rich, next question. But on the issue of money, in terms of the size of the company, is there a wheelhouse or a sandbox of, you know, what's the low end to the high end? Because you're not talking to, you know, somebody starting a making coffee cups or whatever, right?
That's correct. Next question.
See, I shouldn't do that. Yeah,
I mean,
$5 million, $2 million, $20 million, $100 million,
you can
pass
on
that. Yeah.
No, I'll make a couple of comments.
Okay.
We do look at businesses with a pretty broad lens. However, you do have to be at a certain level to make sense for us. We can work in a space, you know, up to a couple $100 million
right.
at this point. We can work in a space that's much, much smaller
right.
than that. But we do want to see nice, positive cash flow and scalability. If the cash flow is low
yeah.
and the scalability is high.
Right, yeah. Then it makes sense for you to come on board,
right.
consult, and then
right.
it's a win-win.
At the same time, you could have cash flow is high, scalability is okay.
Right.
That may be a great deal, too.
Yeah.
If scalability is zero,
then there's no opportunity there.
Right,
it's like they can write you checks to consult, but
right,
there's, you know.
Right. Exactly.
So a couple of other points. So who's in your sandbox? Is there a certain type of business sector that kind of makes sense for you all?
Well, there's a few things we like, although we're not limited to this, but we think manufacturing is a great space. A lot of small manufacturers out there that kind of fit the model. Healthcare, technology. But having said that, again, it's a broad lens that really looks for that good positive cash flow and scalability.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of folks here from healthcare and technology on the show this morning.
Been so, interesting listening.
Right, yeah. And what about these events that I've been to in the past? Are there any upcoming events here in Atlanta market? Or
We've morphed a little bit
yeah.
from the event you went to,
right.
which really you know, was a LinkedIn campaign to contact people and get people to be familiar with us. We've morphed into a meetup type of presentation, which most people are familiar with. We kind of blew up LinkedIn.
Got that covered. Check that off the box.
So we started doing meetups around Atlanta, and they're much smaller events. There aren't any big PowerPoint presentations like you saw. Yep. It's more of a casual event. Mm-hmm. We spend a little bit of time with introductions, a little bit of time with, you know, a 30,000 foot view of what we do.
Right.
And it's really aimed at getting people to be familiar with us, see if there's any interest. We're an invite-only organization.
Right.
We want to invite new members in that, that we think are appropriate and can help build the organization. But it's kind of a very soft event, if you will. It's
like
not
a meet
selling
and greet,
event.
Yeah, meet and greet and get to kind of know the folks behind the group, because whenever you're going to be writing checks, especially of that size or that nature, you kind of want to have some face-to-face time, you know, at least a launch point, and then continue the conversation.
Right. We have several people that come to those meetups. We have them approximately once a month in various locations, and we've had several that, you know, come repeatedly, and they want to meet other members that are there, so they kind of get to know us, we get to know them, and we want to meet business owners that may be interested in needing our help or becoming a member.
And what about from the, I don't know, if, investment standpoint, or some folks that are just looking to get involved from that perspective, right?
Sure,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. An investor, someone that's only interested in investing, obviously the carrot there is these are deals that you can't invest in otherwise.
Right.
So one of the neat opportunities as a member of CXO is you get exposed to all these different types of deals that you may have a particular expertise in. You know the industry, you know what the scalability is, and you have an opportunity to invest in something that, you know, you think in 3, 4, 5 years is going to be worth a nice multiple.
Yeah, so you folks in your organization is kind of a conduit to bringing all those people to the table and making the connections happen, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. And then so for our listeners, our folks tuning in, what's the best way to them find out more about your organization and how to get involved or some of these events?
Well, there's basically three ways.
Okay.
Our meetups that are listed on meetup.com every month, come to those, get to know us. We'll get to know you. CXOcollective.com is our website. There's a ton of information on that. They can click on info and have somebody get a hold of them. If they're here in Atlanta, that'll probably be me. And lastly, they can contact me personally, 404-502-6005.
Okay. So, Jerry, great stuff, and kind of come full circle, because I remember meeting Corbin at those events. I actually invited a couple of folks there to attend, and so pleasure to have you on the show here this morning. Yeah,
great to be here.
And
thanks
and
a lot.
Meet you in person. Yeah, so amazing show here this morning. I think we've covered about everything. I don't think we left anything off the table, right? Yeah,
not that I can see.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't have time for a roundtable discussion. So unless there's a burning question that someone just cannot leave the room, we'll have a chance to talk off the air. But any closing thoughts? Pass or play?
Appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank
all right.
you so much
for
having us.
Absolutely appreciate it. Well, that's a consensus then, yeah. So again, thanks for everyone being here this morning. Rich Casanova for Buckhead Business Radio X. And I'm trying to think of a quote off the top of my head here. I'm thinking...
make it happen.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Yeah, make it happen, Cap'n. There you go. All right, we'll see you all next week. Stay tuned.